Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken. Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro. Nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Monday, November 8th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry, with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. I would also like you to take a moment to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I would like to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com. EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at EggCartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com. When you need an incubator, think Brincy, the incubation specialists. Brincy has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. They have incubators that hold anywhere from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. These durable, easy-to-clean, quality products come with a 2-year warranty and are the choice of backyard breeders through research establishments. Visit them online at Brincy.com. Brincy spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brincy.com or call 1-888-667-7009. And don't miss out on Brincy's September sale. Until the end of the month, you can save 20% or more on their full range of incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brincy. Technology you can trust.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And I know if you're having a hard time tuning in today that you're not going to be able to hear this, but it seems like we have a little bit of technical difficulty over on Blog Talk Radio's site. A few people in the chat room are stating that it's buffering, but it is not actually playing. So we'll get in contact with them and see if they can't get their tech support on the road here very quickly and get us live. But some people in the chat room are saying they have no problems hearing and they're on the internet. So very interesting. It's about half and half. So we'll see if we can't get a little note over there to them and get them working on the problem. It's now time to bring on my wonderful co-host, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat.
Yeah, hey, Whisperer Boy. A lot's happened in the last few days. I'm just so curious to know now, what was it like being on that APHIS webinar that you were doing a Friday. It was really good, by the way. I listened to the whole thing. What was it like from your side?
It was fine. It wasn't a problem at all. It was pretty much just like doing the radio show. Dr. Smeltzer was here in the office or the broadcast studio, whatever you want to call it. He was sitting directly across from me. We also had a producer or director here as well, sitting at the end of both of our tables, kind of letting us know if we had a little extra time or if we needed to cut things short. And then back in New Jersey, they were actually running the slides and the webinar from up there. The director and main producer was up there, so it was very interesting on how the whole thing came together. Hundreds of people from around the country tuned in live, which was great, and then we were live from Atlanta and New Jersey all at the same time, so it worked really well. Got lots of great comments about the webinar, and it is going to be available in its entirety at the USDA APHIS website sometime this week. So it'll be available for download and viewing, and you can even download it to a DVD. We got lots of folks from FFA and 4-H clubs from around the country wanting to download it to DVD so they can share it with their students and members. And so that was great. And the announcement that we really, I guess, wasn't in the webinar on Friday, and there may have been a press release that had gone out, but a lot of people don't see those, is that the winning name for the Healthy Bird. Remember, we had that big contest for several months regarding the USDA APHIS mascot, the rooster. In fact, we did a special video here in the backyard here regarding the rooster, and it ended up being Healthy Harry. Healthy Harry was the name that was voted on most. So the USD APHIS. Well, it looks like on my end that the just want to let everybody know that the Try Blog Talk Now, if you've been trying to reboot again, I just did as a listener, and I can hear it fine. So we are apparently everything, all the kinks were worked out. Everything is going just fine and dandy. And so try to refresh now. Let me go ahead and put that in the chat room. 1 second. Let me write in here in the chat room, folks, for all the listeners. Refresh now. Let's see. Problem solved. Okay. Well, we're going to try that and see if how many other people now are. Yep, Blog Talk is working now. So we'll see if we can't get. At least it was working on my end. So, hey, this is a live radio show, folks. You're going to have some technical problems because I do not have an IT degree. We've been doing it almost for 2 years now. And every now and then, we'll have some technical problems. Sometimes it's not even our fault. It may be the laptop, the desktop, the microphone, the headset, the BlackBerry, Blog Talk Radio. You just never know. T-Mobile, you just have no clue on where to blame, but everybody's refreshing now and getting on live, so no problem at all, especially when we go live on the road, folks, which reminds me, I'm kind of excited. This Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the show is going on the road again. We'll be heading out Thursday afternoon. We'll be flying up to Columbus, Ohio. This Friday, we will have a live radio show. We will be broadcasting live on location from Meyer Hatchery in Polk, Ohio. And then the next day, Saturday the 13th, we'll be live from the Ohio National Poultry Show, largest poultry show in the country, 7,000-plus birds and thousands of people flocking together to come and take a look at this show. It's going to be awesome. So we'll have two live radio shows on the road again. It'll be kind of like the old Chicken Whisperer tour we had back in April. This Friday from Meyer Hatchery, and this Saturday from the Ohio National Poultry Show. Saturday night, I'm very looking forward to meeting with a lot of great other poultry folks at, I believe it's the Southwest Ohio Meetup Group, maybe? Nick Russo, he is the organizer of that group. They've invited us to dinner. It's going to be fun that Saturday night after the Ohio National Poultry Show. I think we're going to meet at a Bob Evans, last I heard, and have dinner with lots of members of his meetup group. And I put a shout-out to the Columbus meetup group that I've run for the last year or so. I think it's about 80 members, and we're going to invite them over as well. Maybe we'll have a really big group at Bob Evans that Sunday night, Saturday night. Looking forward to that. So that's going to be a fun time this weekend. We are definitely looking forward. I got to rent my car today. That's on the list. I've had plane tickets for quite a while, renting my car. The hotel's been booked for months. So I figured if I booked the hotel first, there's no way I could get out of it. So I booked the hotel months and months ago. Actually, over the summer, I booked the hotel room to make sure I had could get a room near the show. So definitely looking forward to that. But no, thanks. The Healthy Bird is now named Healthy Harry, and we had a great webinar and great participation at the webinar on Friday. Great times, and there was even mention after the on our conference call afterwards about doing that a few more times, maybe having a quarterly or a biannual webinar with the USDA Healthy Birds program, the next one being a little bit more advanced, and then a little bit more advanced after that, and have current topics that we do this webinar with. So definitely looking forward to that. There's somebody in the chat room that says they're very excited that their coop is a finalist in the Meyer Hatchery Contest. They're having a photo contest on their Facebook page at Meyer Hatchery. Just look them up on Facebook. And they've been having a photo contest now for several weeks. And I will be announcing the big winners of that photo contest live on the radio this coming Friday from Meyer Hatchery. We're looking forward to that. And it's just, let me tell you, because I have no control over T-Mobile's coverage area or any type of connectivity when we go on the road. So if for some reason you try to tune in on Friday and you hear nothing and it seems like we're in nowhere land, that just means we had some type of technical problem on the road. So and then we will post everything via Facebook. That's one reason why it's good to become a fan on Facebook, folks. Get all kinds of great updated information about the radio show, live broadcast, what's going on. So join us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheChickenWhisperer. So we want you to do that, and we appreciate it. So what did you do this weekend, Pat?
Oh, I had sort of a Harriet homeowner kind of weekend. It was so much fun. But my neighbor, we've got some gravel drives here at Greenway, and he was kind of using his little back of his little car and had a little toy rake and was kind of filling in some of the roads where the ruts had come and getting ready for winter to get that drainage in. So I pulled out my tractor. I got on my tractor and I thought of you, Whisper. So I got that front end loader in gear and off we went and took I don't know how many loads of gravel up and we smoothed it out and got an awful lot of work done. Then the other neighbor came out and he started helping too, and that was really cute. And then the kids all thought it was just so cool that there was a tractor, and especially I think that a middle aged woman could drive it. They even impressed them maybe a little bit more, but it was great because to spread it, you know, when you dump the gravel, you back up a little bit, and then you go up, and then I put the bucket down, and the wheels come up off the ground, the front wheels, so you can get and just back up. It's like the so they were saying, oh, the tractor's rearing. I took some pictures. It was just one laugh a minute, it seemed, and we got a lot done. It was a nice camaraderie there. And then the other thing I've been working on is the storm windows for my house. I got an estimate. It was something like $1,500. So I thought, well, darn, all it is a frame with some glass, and I've got some tongue and groove flooring that is not going to be used in any job site. There's enough for windows. So I've been ripping it down to an inch and a half, and then I've got the groove already in there. So I'm making storm windows, doing the little mitered edge and getting them together. It's very simple. But I ought to be able to do it for just about $100 if my estimates are about right. Maybe two. Depends on if I use plexiglass or glass. So all
now
that,
we,
and also, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, when we went to Lowe's this past weekend, because we were looking at some better windows for our farmhouse, and we saw some windows that were, we have some pretty big windows there, about 30 inches wide by, let's see, 72 inches tall.
Oh,
so they're a pretty big window. 30, really, probably 30 by 72, 32 by 72. And we saw brand new replacement vinyl windows at Lowe's for about $140 a piece. So before you spend $200 on making your own and all that time, go buy Home Depot or Lowe's and check them out. Because, like I said, we found 30, 32 inch wide by 72 inch tall windows there at Lowe's for, there's about $140 for that size window. So you're just quoting $150 to $200 per window, you know, and plus your time and plus material.
For the whole job, Whisper, because I don't really need replacement windows. I just want the frames to fit in to sort of create a double panel. So I don't.
Gotcha.
They're not,
okay. I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
See.
So all I need to do is just do the labor and make the frames, and then buy either glass or plexiglass to fit in. So they'll end up costing about $15 a piece, and then they just fit right in the frame next to the windows that are already in there. Yeah.
Very cool.
But you're right.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how I'm a lousy carpenter. Then I've got my little staple gun, you know, and I'll be darned if I didn't almost staple my finger with this long. I got like 2-inch staple going through that frame to get those miters real tight. And sure enough, one went up and one went down and one almost my finger. It's on the pneumatic, on the pressure, the compressor. So anyway, that, and then of course, while you're going to be in Ohio, I'm going to be at the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy Conference, so we'll both be on the road there, and I'm all getting, just thinking ahead about getting ready. I'm ready for that. I'll be driving up Wednesday, and then there's a turkey, free-range turkey clinic on Thursday, and then Friday and Saturday the conference, regular conference is on. So, yeah, no boring lives here. Don't we have the best lives of anyone we know of?
Absolutely. I was talking to somebody there on Facebook. We put up some poultry netting over the weekend. We had taken all the netting we had used for many years, just kind of the blueberry netting or the plant netting that we normally use. And it's worked a lot. Last year we had the first snow we've had in quite a while, or significant snow, and of course it just all came down. So we kind of rigged it back up piece by piece. And so probably over the summer, I ordered some official knotted poultry netting, 65-pound test strength. And I'm glad I didn't videotape it because, man, it was me and Jen probably looked like chickens with our head cut off, to be honest, trying to get this thing fit and done. So we got it up. I guess I'd say temporarily. I need to go back this afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, to actually put a few more, I guess I'll call them U-nails, in there to get it down there. And a little bit more permanently, but we wanted to put the netting up because we are traveling a little bit more now and on the weekends, and we got some events coming up with ManaPro, so we just didn't want to, for peace of mind, we wanted to make sure that our poultry is safe. Again, as people know, there's always going to be something that's going to love your chickens more than you, and they'll have nothing else to do but their time but to figure out how to access them. So do what you need to do as a responsible poultry owner to keep your flock safe from predators, including the poultry netting above from hawks and owls, and below from your digging predators like the skunks and possums and raccoons and coyotes and fox and things like that. So you want to make sure you can do what you can to make sure your poultry is safe. So let's see what we got here. Tomorrow, it's the second Tuesday of the month, which means Jeanette Behringer from the ALBC is on. And I may have missed it. Do you have any topic information for us, Pat, for tomorrow?
Oh, I think she's going to talk about the conference, but just let me double-check on that.
Nope, that'll be fine. That sounds good. So tomorrow, Jeanette Behringer with the American Livestock Breed Conservancy. This Wednesday, let's see, the 10th is the second Wednesday. We're going to have another great episode of Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown. Peter is the founder of First State Veterinary Supply. He'll be here with us this Wednesday. This Thursday will be Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. He'll be our guest this Thursday. And then, of course, this Friday we'll be broadcasting live, believe it or not, from Meyer Hatchery. Speaking of Meyer Hatchery, it is now time for our Chickens in the News segment. And every Chickens in the News segment is brought to you by Meyer Hatchery. Let me go through this very quickly. In fact, I just posted this. I'm going to read one Chickens in the News, and then I'll read another one. And then we'll get to our special guest, which is on hold, Archie Noon. So we're very proud to have him on the radio show today. So let me get the Chickens in the News. And this was very interesting. Let me see what kind of comments we're getting as well from this one. Let me go back over here. Where is it? Yep, already have received several comments about it. Okay, perfect. Very interesting. And this was kind of more of a comment section than it was actually a news article. But this is the way it was titled. Nebraska's TWJ Farms states chickens to be pulverized alive. Now, let me clarify this and make sure this is all in the open. This is an opinion. and it was an official opinion that was in response apparently to a news article, and this opinion has been put in by PETA, P-E-T-I, people eating tasty animals. No, I'm sorry. PETA stands for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Let me clarify that. Make sure that's I want to make sure that I have that correct. But this was 14 hours ago. Thanks to a courageous whistleblower, PETA has learned that Nebraska egg company TWJ Farms is allegedly planning to grind up approximately 70,000 chickens while they're still alive. Brace yourself. This barbaric practice is reportedly standard operating procedure at the company's factory farms. The witness told PETA that in recent years, TWJ has ground to death hundreds of thousands of spent hens, those whose exhausted bodies have stopped producing eggs at a rate high enough for the company to justify continuing to pay to feed them. The witness also said that many of the birds were not killed outright, but were ejected from the grinder with missing wings and limbs and left to suffer in agony for hours before finally dying sometimes a day later. Now, this is an opinion. We don't know if this is factual information or not. We've sent an urgent letter to the company's CEO demanding an end to these horrific killings. We've also called a local law enforcement to intervene, pointing out that grinding animals to death falls outside even the cruel egg industry's own standards and thus likely violates Nebraska's Livestock Animal Welfare Act. We've also asked officials to investigate and, if warranted, to file criminal charges against all appropriate parties. Of course, cruelty is par for the course in factory farms that jam chickens into stacked wire cages in which they can barely move. But when an industry that's cruel enough to allow chickens' sensitive beaks to be hacked off does not approve a killing method, in this case, dumping chickens into a grinder as if they were nothing more than tree branches to be tossed into a wood chipper, then you know the method must be particularly cruel. Watch for updates to this case. In the meantime, you can help millions of chickens who live and die in misery by cutting eggs from your diet and going vegan. And this was written by Jennifer O'Connor. Okay, hang on just a minute. Let me take a bite of my egg sandwich that I just got from my backyard hens that are babied every day. That is such a good egg sandwich, let me tell you. Good and healthy for me, and they were given to me. In fact, this egg probably was from Ruby, who's outside right now in my backyard, Jennifer. And guess what, Ruby? Is probably the only chicken in America that's actually been on a limo drive. Yes, Ruby was put into a beautiful limo, taken down to Fox News, and we talked about factory farming and the healthiness of eggs and backyard chickens and the way that backyard chickens are humanely treated throughout America. And so, this is a good egg sandwich, Jennifer. I wish you could come and share it with me. This is so tasty. So, anyway, again, this is an opinion. I posted it on my Facebook page, and I do want to let you know that I share this with you because it is related to people who keep backyard poultry. Again, as you saw in the webinar we had with the USDA back on Friday, there was a very small amount of percentage of people who actually kept backyard chickens for one of the top reasons of animal cruelty sentiment. Because we had that was one of our polls with the USDA webinar on Friday. But a lot of people, we keep backyard poultry for many, many various reasons. But I wanted to share with you because on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show, we share all kinds of news with you related to chickens, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there are several comments here. And I actually commented here that method is one of the few that are actually approved and allowed nationwide. Now, I know that doesn't make it right. Okay, but the farm is following the rules by doing this, according to many organizations that outlaw what's approved and what's not. In fact, there's a lot of controversy, Pat, right now going on. We posted articles about it, about different ways in the commercial industry of slaughtering chickens. Right now, probably the majority of chickens across America are basically electrocuted when they're actually going to be slaughtered. And now there a lot of people are claiming that's inhumane, and so they're going actually to gassing them. And which supposedly is more humane. We know two states in the union have declared that after, I think it's 2014, no more battery cages. They can't use battery cages any longer. California, and I think, is it Missouri? I can't remember. The other state that has eliminated and voted to eliminate battery cages in commercial chicken farms. So that we think that's obviously a step in the right direction. But wanted to share with all of you Backyard Love for Poultry posted that in the chat room, so you can sound off on that and give us your 2 cents worth, and we would like to hear from you regarding that. And then the next Chickens in the News, of course, comes to us and also is related to our guest today, which we're very proud to have, Chicken Fight. This comes to us from hometownlife.com, hometownlife.com. Chicken Fight, village resident 93 wants to raise hens in backyard, but guess what? Not the first time we've heard this. Council says no. When Archie Noon imagines raising chickens in his backyard, he thinks of fresh eggs. Milford Village Council members say they think of waste, smell, and noise. In other words, they're not thinking. In my book, they have no factual information. The council Monday denied Noon's request to peck away at a local ordinance that designates chickens as farm animals, which are prohibited within village boundaries. Now, at age 93, Noon said he's ready to fight for his right to fill his new hen house, and let me tell you, it's a beauty, at his home on West Huron Street. "I don't intend to take this lying down," Noon said. "This seems so ridiculous. Cities all over the country allow raising chickens." Noon cited Ann Arbor, New York, suburban Philadelphia, places that also allow raising of chickens. "They're permitted in Manhattan, and there are no lots there. People have them in apartments and on porches," he said. Noon also provided signed statements from people who live on the street who don't object to his plan and said if backyard chickens are raised and confined properly, there's less odor than dog droppings. Village council member Jim Kovac, however, said he canvassed several of his own neighbors about allowing village residents to keep chickens in their yards, and the idea was greeted with skepticism. "It's the waste, the noise, the smell, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera," he said. "Everyone I talked with was against it. We have to respect that." Council member Jennifer Frankfurt said that she had trepidation with the proposal, noting she grew up on a farm and understands the benefits of fresh foods. Frankfurt said she also has concerns with the possibility of bacteria growth, hard-to-control noise, and odor. Okay, and I'm going to tell you, we've tried to contact them. But, Frankfurt, let me give you a note here. We're not talking about a farm. Okay, there's a big fundamental difference between a farm and 6 to 8 backyard chickens. I mean, even, well, I don't know,
that's right.
I even knew you know that. But, if I'd like goat milk, should I be allowed to keep a goat? A chicken is still a farm animal, she said. Okay, well, show me, and I challenge people this on all the time. Show me the proof. Show me across America the hundreds, yes, hundreds of cities that have now allowed backyard poultry. Show me one that now has a goat problem or a cow problem. Show it to me. If you can show me that factual information, then that point is moot. But until then, that's hearsay, that's moot, that's hogwash, because you have nothing to back it up, my friend. Okay? Due to the village's compact urban nature, it makes no sense to allow raising of chickens, Councilmember Kevin Ziegler added, of course. Chicken coops now are compact, 6 to 12 chickens. In a nice little area, 4 square feet per chicken. 4 square feet per chicken. Okay, Kevin, do your research. You'd know that. Councilmember Liz here cast the only vote in favor of Noon's request. Chickens, I think, would be a benefit. Personally, I don't see a reason not to, as long as it's not a large commercial venture and it's for personal use. So how about that? She's got some sense to her, apparently, or has read some facts. Noon said he knows of several village residents who raise chickens, and he didn't realize it violated a local ordinance until he built, ready for this, folks? He built a $3,500 backyard coop a few months ago. It is a beauty. "We raised chickens when I was a child and loved it," he said. "One day my grandchildren said, 'Grandpa, why don't you raise chickens anymore?'" All kinds of people raise chickens in the village. Noon added, people just told me to go ahead and do it. Since learning it was illegal, Noon decided to approach village officials in hopes of having the planning commission directed to amend the ordinance. Following the denial Monday, village manager Arthur Shuffleberger suggested Noon – okay, ready for this? Arthur Shuffleberger suggested Noon bring his request back to the village council after the 2012 election when council seats could change. But Noon said he wasn't interested in waiting that long. Folks, the gentleman is 93 years old, and they're telling him to come back in 2012? Okay. Village attorney Jennifer Lewoski said Noon has the option of violating the ordinance and addressing his citation in district court. Noon said he wasn't sure if that was the next step or what his next step was, but he's not giving up. In some way, I'm going to mount a challenge, he said. I don't know how I'm going to do it yet, but we will be talking to some friends of mine to see what recourse I have. I'm seeking justice for myself and others who have backyard chickens. How do you like that? Well, we are here to help. We're here to help Archie Noon. We've got thousands of listeners to this radio show. We have thousands of fans on our Facebook page. And yesterday, folks, on my Facebook page, I listed the email addresses of the city council members, and you know what to do. We've done this before, okay? So this could be you. It could be me. We're asking for your help. Go to my Facebook page. We're going to try to post it in our chat room. I'm going to try to give them on the air here in a minute so you can write them down. We want you to send supporting emails to these city council members for Archie Noon, okay? At 93, I think Archie's paid enough doggone taxes on his property to be able to do whatever the heck he wants. It's his property. So, Pat, what do you think about that, chickens in the news? We're going to talk to Archie here in just a minute after the commercial break.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I think absolutely. We've heard back that the emails do make a difference, that city council members, when they start getting this the barrage and, of course, the other side, I think they just haven't considered chickens. So we'll just have to educate them. That's, we're here to be educators, Whisper. That's just what we are in
yep.
this movement. And it's, what's funny is we're going to look back in about 5 years and go, what was the big to-do about? I mean, everyone's going to be on board. The tipping point will have happened. And there'll be so many chickens across the U.S. that there'll be actually more of them than dogs or cats, or what I predict. So, yeah, Archie,
yep.
I'll send some emails. Absolutely.
Yep.
Love it.
We've got to do that. We've got to support him. Now, we're going to go to commercial break. First, the very last bit of Chickens in the News that I have, everybody, and you're going to love it. And if you're in the chat room, many, many of you in the chat room, go ahead and follow my cue. And we want to wish Brighton a happy birthday. I believe today Brighton is turning 10 years old. I believe today he's turning 10 years old. Happy birthday, Brighton, my number one fan. He is a future poultry scientist, future poultry PhD, if you ask him. And he is, man, tearing up the scene on the poultry show circuit, I tell you. I'm telling you what. So everybody in the chat room, let's wish happy birthday to Brighton. We're going to go to a short commercial break. When we come back, we're going to welcome 93-year-old Archie Noon, who's fighting the city to keep backyard poultry in his backyard. So stay with us, folks. We'll be back right after this short break on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try MannaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try MannaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, the only nationally broadcast radio show all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. We've also given away more chicken coops than anybody on the planet, and we've given away more chicken prizes than anybody on the planet, thanks to our sponsors. Okay, it is now time to go to the phone lines. First, I want to go to my personal assistant, Christina Duncan. She has actually tried, because we're fair and balanced on this radio show, because chickens have both a left wing and a right wing. So we are truly fair and balanced here on this radio show. But Christina, if you are live on the air now, if you'll tell us, you tried to contact the big city there where Archie Noon, up in Milford Village officials. You tried to contact Milford Village officials this morning because we wanted to give them fair time to come on and give us their side of the story, to recite the law that they have on the books there, tell what kind of problems they have with Archie raising some backyard chickens and having some fresh eggs. So, Christina, tell us what kind of difficulty we've had trying to get in touch with the city.
Well, at first, they were willing to listen to me, but then when they discovered I was with a national radio show, and that we were actually going to have Archie on, they immediately put me on hold, and I was on hold for a few moments. And then they came back and said they were going to put me to the village manager, Arthur Shufflebarger, and he was not in the office, and they were going to pass me straight to his voicemail. So then they put me to his voicemail. Then when I did try calling back again to try to get a hold of Arthur to get a statement or invite them on the show or whatever, the phone's busy several times.
Very, very interesting. So basically the town of Milford Village sounds to me like they're chicken to come on the radio show and give us their side of the story of why they're giving Archie Noon, a 93-year-old resident there, a hard time about keeping a few backyard chickens. Other people in the village apparently keep backyard chickens. Who knows? So, folks, my point here is I wanted to let you know that we did try to contact Milford Village officials this morning. We're going to continue to try to contact them. We're going to leave messages, but guess what? You can contact them. I can contact them via their email addresses. Yep, via their email addresses. And so what I'm going to do right now very quickly is go through these. We're going to try to see if Christina can actually copy and paste them from my Facebook page. They are listed at our Facebook page. And then we're going to see if she can just copy and paste from our Facebook Chicken Whisper page and then post them in the chat room so then you can copy and paste them, put them in an email, and let's send some emails, folks. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails. We want to let's crash their email system, why don't we, with backyard chicken emails supporting Archie Noon. We really need to do that, folks. It could be you, it could be me, it could be anybody. There they are. There they are right there in the chat room. So you can copy and paste those. Here are the email send an email in support of Archie Noon. Here are the email addresses to the town council members. Boom, 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 boom. There they are, folks. Take 5 minutes. This could be you. This is why you listen to this show every day. This is why you have backyard poultry. This is why you support backyard poultry. If not you, then who? If not now, then when? Let's do this. Let's support Archie Noon and his right to keep backyard poultry in the town of Milford. And we're going to hear from him right this second. I'm going to go ahead and bring Archie live on the radio show, and he's going to tell us his story and kind of what he's been through so far, what things have been told to him, and then we're going to try to see what he's got planned for the future. So, Mr. Noon, thank you very much for joining us today. You're live on the radio show.
Thank you.
We appreciate you being here today with us, and I did read the article from hometownlife.com to everybody. It doesn't get into a whole lot of detail, but if you'll kind of tell us how your fight got started. First off, you have a beautiful coop. It's absolutely gorgeous, and it's a shame that after you spend all this time building it, that now you find out that you can't put any chickens in it. So when did the idea enter your thoughts to get back into backyard chickens?
I got the idea because I had raised chickens when I was out in the country, and then when I moved into Milford, I just didn't do it anymore until my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren came along and said to me, "Grandpa, how come you don't raise chickens anymore?" And so that gave me the idea that I thought, well, why don't I raise chickens? So I built a chicken coop before I found out that there was an ordinance restricting chickens in the village of Milford. And that's how it started.
And you said there are other people in the city of Milford right now that have backyard chickens?
I pointed that out to the council in my meeting with them a week ago, Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't seem to be too concerned about it, except one of the council people said, "Well, now we're really going to have a problem. If we give you permission, then we got to give all these other people permission."
That's right. That's the whole point.
And I indicated, I said, "That's not a bad idea. Maybe that's what you should be doing."
I love it. And the funny thing is that here are these people in the town that they are apparently in charge of, and or think they're in charge of, and there's chickens out there they don't even know about, which my next question would be, if there's already people in Milford that have backyard chickens and you don't know about it, how in the world can there be a problem, as you quote, for smell and noise and other problems? If they're already here and you have no complaints, and I would challenge them on to see how many complaints they have on dogs, how many complaints on cats, how many complaints on loud music playing, and how many complaints they have with chickens in their own town. You can do a records request and get that information to see how many complaints they've had over the last year, over the last 2 years. Open records request, see how many complaints they've had for chickens and dogs and cats and loud music, and then compare apples to apples and put things in perspective and quote, you know, say, "Hey, there's some people already in the town that keep chickens, and obviously it's not a problem. So according to even your own records, so what seems to be the problem?" So were they pretty nice and respectful to you, Archie? I mean, sometimes when I go to these city council meetings, there'll be people snickering in the background about, you know, joking about chickens and things like that. And then just because they don't understand, they don't have any factual information, they've never raised chickens. Did they take your request seriously, or were they just thinking, this, you know, whatever, just, you know, another crazy idea?
Well, I wouldn't say they were any way disrespectful, but the impression I got at the hearing was they apparently didn't pay too much attention to my request, which was typed out and copies to all the council people. And they didn't seem to have read the request and all the details in the request, where I indicated to them that there are many reasons to allow chickens than prohibiting them. And then I gave them the reasons why we should it should be done, and I gave them the names and of the towns and places who have already agreed to modifying their ordinance. And all that I asked for was a elimination of the word chickens from the ordinance, which I thought was a rather simple request. But they didn't seem to think it that way.
Of course not.
Pardon me?
Of course they didn't.
No, they didn't look at it that way. But in the meantime, I have found that the state of Michigan has a Right to Farm Act, which affects everyone in Michigan. And the legislative act, and I'm reading from item 6, it says, beginning in June the 1st of 2000, except as otherwise provided in this section, it is the express legislative intent that this act preempts any local ordinance, regulation, or resolution that purports to extend or revise in any manner the provisions of this act. Now, I found this after the village council denied me. Now, I've got this state legislative act that's saying this act supersedes any other ordinances. So my question is to the village, and you know how difficult it is to talk to the village because you tried to reach them this morning, and there's nobody there to give you any information, correct?
Yep, we're going to definitely keep trying, and I can tell you right now, they're already starting to get an awful lot of emails in support of you, Archie, and we're going to be doing this again on Facebook and Twitter again today, getting those email addresses out there, and they're gonna realize how many people there are across the country.
The emails just doesn't change what the village has done. The village has said no to me. Now, what I need is some way of having the village understand that there's a state legislative piece of ordinance, of a law, that says the right to farms law supersedes any local ordinance. And that's the thing I have to get across to the village council. And my problem now is, how do I go about doing this? Do I go and waste my money to hire an attorney? Does the village then have to waste their money to defend themselves? Or would they just read this legislative act and says, I guess we did the wrong thing. We should not have denied Archie the right to raise chickens because there's a legislative act that says we cannot do that. So my question right now is, you know, how do I go about this? I don't want to spend a lot of money for an attorney. I don't want the village to have to pay money, which is part of my money because I pay taxes to the village.
Exactly.
By the way, big-time taxes. So I have to some way get to the village and say, I think you people made a mistake. Here's the state law, which supersedes the village law. Village ordinance,
right?
So that's where I'm at.
That sounds like call the local news is suggested in the chat room there. Just tell them your story and tell them it's a right that you have by given by the state. Talk to the mayor. Yeah,
well,
I think you got a really good case, Archie. I think you're going to win it.
Oh, I'm glad you have that. Thanks. I hope I do. Thank you.
Yep. And
but you can't give me any help on this. you can't go to the state for me. You can't go to the village for me and make an appeal for me. Is that correct?
Well, no. There's emails
now. You can't do that, can you?
Well, we're going to support you as much as we can. We've actually been very instrumental in passing actually a lot of laws across the country. 2 years ago, the very first law we were instrumental in was Gulfport, Florida. In fact, Archie, not a single person from our group actually stepped foot in the doors there, but we did send emails, we did send phone calls, we did write articles, and the law was, it was very written very strictly that chickens were not allowed. And we were approached by a young lady and her daughters down there that they had chickens. There was an unrelated call near her home. The police officer heard, or the chickens went over, peeked over her fence, saw chickens, and then reported it. And then that's when the battle begun. And we again, emailed articles to the news media. I sent them some information, some factual information to all the city council members. It was even brought up during the actual city council member that, hey, there's a chicken whisperer in Atlanta, and this is all going on. And I got an autographed newspaper from him where we mentioned the whole nine yards. And actually, nobody actually even showed up, just from our persistence in educating them about the factual information.
If you could do that for me, that'd be helpful, because I'm not seeking vengeance. I'm only seeking justice. That's all I'm asking
you
for.
Just want to keep some backyard chickens in your backyard. We understand. There was a young lady in Vermont, actually, to let you know how successful we've been. And we contacted the town very respectfully. We got in touch with them. And they actually, the town lawyer and her lawyer, I was heavily involved in mediation. They went to mediation. I was involved with that on both sides. I had over an hour and a half phone call with the town attorney and the town city manager, and we talked about the benefits of backyard poultry. We talked about solutions. We talked about if they created an ordinance, no roosters, just hens, and then actually she got to keep all her chickens. And so, we've been pretty successful across the country.
I want you to do the same thing for me.
Definitely. We're going to, and all of our folks out there, we have wonderful, wonderful fans. And so we will definitely support you as much as we can to do this. I will be calling you to let you know who we've contacted. In fact, Christina just tried to call again, and the gentleman was at lunch, so she left another voicemail. And I'm not going to give the phone number out on the air today, because we are giving the email addresses, and you folks know what to do. We have gotten this down to a science. Pat, myself, this is where we start, by doing the email addresses. Then we have steps along the way based on the kind of response we get from the town that we'll do, different types of line items that we'll do along this whatever you want to call it. We don't want to call it a fight, but this
it's not a fight.
Steps.
I'm not fighting.
Right.
I'm just seeking justice. That's all. I want justice.
How big is your lot, Archie?
Good question.
I have a. I'm right on a river. I'm on the Huron River.
Uh-huh.
And I only have neighbors on one side. And it's a lot. It's about a 120 feet long, wide across the riverfront. Across the road front, it's about 80 to 90 feet long. It's a substantial lot.
Yeah. So your lot's definitely bigger than the one I have in urban Atlanta, and I have 35 chickens, 2 goats, a nice-sized garden. I have water collection barrels. I've got a compost bin and a compost pile, 2 dogs, and plenty of room for them to roam. With no noise and no smell, and we've had people from the news media and master gardeners come to my yard to see how all that could be done on a quarter acre, and are very surprised. We just had a bunch of Girl Scouts come to our home on Friday. And they, the parents were amazed that just on a quarter acre, they were like, I don't smell anything, and I don't see anything bad about it. In fact, she said, there's more dog poop in your yard that I see than there is chicken poop.
Well, let me tell you, I indicated to you, I live on the Huron River, and the Huron River is alive with Canadian geese. And those Canadian geese are on my lawn that I cannot walk on the lawn without picking up all the goose dumpings. So I've got more problems with wild Canadian geese in my yard than anybody would have with a lousy four or five chickens.
Yeah. That's a question in the chat room
I've now
for you.
Pardon?
Archie, how many chickens would you ultimately, I mean, you have a beautiful coop.
Oh,
how many chickens
would you like
to have?
I'm figuring on, just to get started and get the kinks out, I'm no more than five, no more than five hens.
Sure.
And my intention is to start with at least pullets. I don't want to raise chicks right away because I'm not too sure of the heat. I see my chicken coop is electrified, and I have heat in there, and I want to be sure they're happy and comfortable. So I'm going to start with only four or five.
That's
I'm sure
Archie,
I wouldn't go to more than eight or ten.
Yeah, Archie, here's a statistic for you, is that 10 chickens make less poop than a 40-pound dog. A 40-pound dog poops about three-quarters of a pound.
Yeah, tell the village that for me, will you, please?
Yeah, we can do that.
Will you tell the village council that? In fact, some of those councilmen that were put it down, like that one person who indicated that, you know, there's going to be smell and stink. Yeah, tell them about it.
Well, we are. In fact,
we
I just got a note saying,
go after him.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is totally amazing. So,
okay.
Archie, I've got your home number. I'm going to be in contact with you as Pat.
Okay.
We're going to keep trying to get in touch with the town council. We're going to invite them on the radio show, give them equal time. We're sending factual information. We're sending pictures of beautiful chicken coops. People are sending pictures of their kids playing with their chickens and lots of factual information. They'll probably even get several books where they can do their own research. Let me ask you one last real quick question here, because this is also a very interesting thing. You live within the village limits or within the city limits. Do they provide their own garbage pickup, or do you have to pay for a private service to come pick up your garbage weekly?
We pay for it in our tax. We have an assessment.
There you go.
That's all
I needed to know. You know, that's all I needed to know. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to refer right now. I'm going to let Pat explain, because this is her expertise. I'm going to let, if you pay within your taxes for that garbage to be picked up from the front of your house once a week or twice a week, Pat's going to tell you right now how you keeping backyard chickens and people in your town keeping backyard chickens can reduce the taxpayers, how it can reduce the town's taxes. Pat, tell him real quick how that can happen.
Well, that's right, Whisper. I mean, it's every single little piece of pizza or bread crust or pasta or whatever it gets would go in the usual trash pickup, the solid waste management. Chickens come and eat the food scraps, and they eat about their weight a month in food scraps. And then you can also use their manure to mix in with leaf and yard waste to create compost. And that can keep tons and tons and tons of biomass out of municipal system to where they don't have to pick it up. Pay for the truck, have to haul it, sometimes transport it, and then pay tipping fees to go into the landfill, and then pay landfill fees forever to keep that landfill going. So family flocks of chickens, this is one of my big banners, can really save big time taxpayer dollars and serve the planet at the same time. Because, of course, any of that biomass that's kept out of the landfills doesn't create methane gas, which is also one of the global warming gases. So the stakes are very big, Archie. We think the stakes are very high and very important for not only feeding ourselves healthy foods, but also for the environment. So we're on your side, Archie.
I'm happy you are. In fact, everybody I've talked to is on my side, except some of the people that I elected to the village council. And
well,
particularly that one councilman, I hope you get a hold of him. His name was Kevin Ziegler. And at the council meeting, he was the one that started the whole protest by not. He started off by saying, "I wash my hands of this whole thing. I don't want any part of it. It's ridiculous. It's going to change the ambience of our village. You get it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely,
and
make it nicer.
Yeah. So anyway,
they've
got a lot to learn.
You too,
with your help, we can teach our village council a lot.
Yes, it's an educational thing, Archie. There's a lot of misconceptions and beliefs and myths about chickens, and they're just not true. They're myths and not facts. So people just think they're dirty, ugly, smelly, licey, the factory farm kind of chickens, and that's just simply not true.
Yep.
I know that from
Alrighty,
my past experience of raising chickens. I'm aware of that, and there's no.
Yep.
But we've got to get that message across to the village council some way.
Yeah,
we're
going
to do
it,
especially to Mr. Ziegler.
Go ahead, Whisper.
I was going to say absolutely, and especially to Mr. Ziegler.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes. Because, after all, I think he's lived here in Milford maybe 2 years. And now he's saying, we don't want to change the ambience of our village. I've been here pretty close to 60 years. And,
I love it.
The ambience, people like him are the ones that screwing up the ambience.
Yeah, the Johnny-come-latelys that come into our town and try to run it like a subdivision. I'm right there with you because I'm dealing with the same thing here in the city of Johns Creek. Where my parents' family have lived on in this town for I don't know, they can probably track back their family into this town for between 100 and 200 years. And then you've got the Johnny Come Latelys. Not that I have anything against people from the north, because we got a lot of people from the north that listen to this radio show, but a lot of them have come down here and trying to tell my father-in-law what he can do on his property that he's owned and has been in his family for decades and decades and decades, because they moved here 2 years ago. Now they're trying to tell him what he can and can't do on his own property. Now, I'm right there with you. It's very aggravating, and it's it's disgusting. And I'm in that same boat.
I feel very encouraged by what you're telling me. And I'm particularly encouraged by the fact that I see the state of Michigan has instituted legislative law with the Right to Farm Act, which affects me.
That's
and
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
This legislative law supersedes anything that the village has got.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
it. We have a universal right to eat our own food.
By that, and I feel very supported by you folks, and keep me posted on what you're doing.
We will, Archie. Thank you very much for joining us today, and I'll keep in touch with you. We'll let you know, we'll let you know if we actually and eventually get a hold of anybody at the city that can give us their 2 cents worth and let us know what the problem is, and we'll reach out to Mr. Ziegler and see what his problem is, and we just might have you on as the story develops, and we appreciate your time today. We really do. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank
Alrighty,
you, Archie,
Pat.
And may the flock be with you soon.
Absolutely,
good luck,
and so see if there's never been a fight if there's never been a cause to help somebody. 93-year-old Archie Noon wants to keep backyard chickens. He built the coops, got $3,500 into it. Other people in the town are keeping chickens, and the town doesn't even know about it. So how can they be a nuisance if they don't even know about it? So we want to help them. And this we've been doing this for a long time, folks. First things first, emails. We have posted them in the chat room. I'm going to go ahead and read them out online so people who are listening to this first, you can get them very easily. Go to our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. Now, bear with me, folks, because I am going to give them over the radio show because I know some people do not have Facebook. They don't have Twitter. They may not even have, are not in the chat room. pardon me. So I'm going to read this out to you. I know for those who are listening live, it may be a little tedious, but I want to do this because people are out there who are ready and willing and want to write an email, which may not be on Facebook. So the last portion of this, so I don't have to go through all of it, is at villageofmilford.org. Village, V-I-L-L-A-G-E, of O-F, Milford, M-I-L-F-O-R-D.org. Villageofmilford.org is where all these emails are going to be sent. And we have the first person on the council, T-E-R-R-I-R-U-S-A-S. T-E-R-R-I-R-U-S-A-S. Damn, I'm going to do that one more time. T-E-R-R-I-R-U-S-A-S, and then at villageofmilford.org. The next one, Jim, J-I-M, Kovac, K-O-V-A-C-H, or Kovac. Jim, J-I-M, K-O-V-A-C-H, at villageofmilford.org. Next, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, G-L-A-G-O-L-A, at villageofmilford.org. That's Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, G-L-A-G-O-L-A, at villageofmilford.org. Next, we have Mr. Ziegler we were talking about. Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, Ziegler, Z-I-E-G-L-E-R. It's Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, Ziegler, Z-I-E-G-L-E-R. No spaces in that. Kevin Ziegler at villageofmilford.org. Next, Jerry Aubrey, J-E-R-R-Y, A-U-B-R-Y. Jerry, J-E-R-R-Y, Aubrey, A-U-B-R-Y, all one word, Jerry Aubrey at villageofmilford.org. And then finally, Jennifer Frankford, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R. Jennifer, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R, Frankford, F-R-A-N-K-F-O-R-D, just like it sounds. Jennifer Frankford, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R, Frankford, F-R-A-N-K-F-O-R-D, at villageofmilford, villageofmilford.org. There you have it, folks. So no excuses. You can see it on our Facebook page. You can see it on our Twitter page. You can see it in the chat room. You can listen to this archive time after time after time, rewind, fast forward, get these addresses, and let's send emails to them, supportive emails of Archie Noon, and we want to contact them. And so people in the chat room are already contacting the local news media up that way, which is awesome. So we want you to do your part. Support Archie Noon and his right to keep backyard poultry. I'm going to go ahead and go to the chicken trivia question for today. Chicken trivia question for today. Give me 1 second, and I have to get over to that, and then we'll go from there. Oops, hang on just a second. I got the secret password today as well. Go ahead and give that to you. Today's secret password for the password collection for poultry protection chicken coop contest is coop. How about that? And just to let you know, so there's no confusing, I'm going to go over the last three just in case you might have missed it due to the webinar on Friday. You maybe not are on Facebook. Last Thursday, November 4th, the secret password was cockerel. Thursday, November 4th, it was cockerel. Friday, November 5th, this past Friday, November 5th, you were listening to the webinar and you weren't able to see us on Facebook. It was broody. Friday, the November 5th, was broody. And today's secret password is coop. Today's secret password is coop. All righty, I'm going to give you a chicken trivia question. And the correct caller, we'll take caller number 5. Is going to win an awesome Hen Saver Hen Apron from hensaver.com. Hen Saver Hen Apron from hensaver.com. Visit them online at hensaver.com. Here's the question. Call number 5, if you feel lucky, for a Hen Saver Hen Apron from Crazy K Farm. The first turkey was admitted to the standard of perfection in 1874. One of them was the bronze variety. Name two more varieties. The first turkey was admitted to the standard of perfection in 1974. One of them was the bronze variety. Name two more varieties. If you know the answer, give us a call, 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237, caller number 5, and we'll be back right after this short break. You could win a hen saver hen apron.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chick. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com. When you need an incubator, think Brinsey, the incubation specialists. Brinsey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. They have incubators that hold anywhere from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. These durable, easy-to-clean, quality products come with a 2-year warranty and are the choice of backyard breeders through research establishments. Visit them online at Brinsea.com. Brinsea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brinsea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. And don't miss out on Brinsea's September sale. Until the end of the month, you can save 20% or more on their full range of incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brinsea. Technology you can trust.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We've all got the secret passwords right now. Yes, what an awesome day. Hey, I got some factual information for everybody. This comes to us from the radio show's technical advisor, Dr. Bridget McRae. Yes, PhD, poultry scientist, small flock specialist, and professor. A four-pound chicken produces 0.25 pounds of waste per bird on a daily basis, 1.75 pounds per week, 7.6 pounds per bird per month, and only 91 pounds per bird per year. This info comes from the Commercial Chicken Production Manual by North and Bell. And of the 2.5 of the 0.25 pounds of the 0.25 pounds produced by a chicken in a day, only 0.05 is dry matter. How about that? Only 0.05 pounds is dry matter. Heard it first here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. All righty, you know what? Nobody knows the answer to this question. I thought it might be a little bit hard. Some people in the chat room are saying, you know, I just found out about chickens, and I just kind of kept chickens, and I just started with chickens, and I don't know anything about turkeys. So at this point, we don't have any turkey fans in the chat room or listening live across the country or across the land or across the world right now. But the question is, the first turkey was admitted to the standard of perfection in 1874. One of them was the bronze variety. Name two more varieties. Guess what? We don't have anybody that knows the answer to that or nobody that wants to take a lick. So I'm going to give you the answer right now. And then I'll take home the hen saver hen apron. Oh, my goodness.
I don't think it'll fit you, Whisper.
We've got bronze.
But you would be cute in it.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Bronze, White Holland, Black, Slate, Bourbon Red, Beltsville Small White, and Royal Palm. Bronze, White Holland, Black, Slate, Bourbon Red, Beltsville Small White, and Royal Palm. We would accept two of any of those today as the Chicken Trivia Contest. But since nobody out there seems to really care about turkeys other than on Thanksgiving morning when they're stuffing their face with turkey and dressing, I'll get to keep the hen saver hen apron today. Oh, man. I'm just kidding, folks. We'll put it aside, and maybe we'll have a Facebook contest a little bit later today if I've got some time. But I want to thank everybody for listening today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, and, of course, on behalf of my wonderful co-host, Pat Foreman, all of our radio show sponsors, and, of course, please do your part to support Archie Noon and get those emails written in support of him. Give them ideas about why backyard chickens are important, the benefits of backyard chickens. Send pictures of your beautiful coops. Send pictures of your kids and grandkids playing with the backyard chickens and all the benefits. And, of course, Pat and I are going to do our part. We're going to continue to try to contact the city, invite them on the show, and see what the beef is about backyard chickens. So that's what we're going to do for you. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to have Jeanette Berenger with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy on tomorrow. Wednesday is another great episode of Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown, founder of First State Veterinary Supply. This Thursday, Richard Frudenberger will be here, from a publisher and technical writer from Back Home Magazine. This Friday, we'll be broadcasting live on location from Meyer Hatchery in Polk, Ohio. And this Saturday, we'll be broadcasting live on location from the Ohio National Poultry Show in Columbus, Ohio. 7,000-plus birds and, shoot, probably 10, 15, 20,000 Chicken Whisper fans will be there.
Yeah, maybe more.
Maybe more. We're going to be looking forward to it. It's going to be exciting. And tune in tomorrow right here on Blog Talk Radio at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And just think, and I guess, let's see, we got, including tomorrow, 9 more days of passwords for our password collection for Poultry Protection Chicken Coop Contest. That we're going to be giving away this awesome chicken coop provided by MyPetChicken.com, the great folks Derek and Tracy over there, on Friday the 19th. That'll be our last show. We will not broadcast the week of Thanksgiving. We're going to take a little time off. And so the 19th, one lucky listener who's been collecting the passwords is going to win that awesome chicken coop valued at about 400 $500. Then, hey, that'll be one more chicken coop we've given away on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. How about that? All righty, Pat, it's all yours.
Yeah, well, exciting show here, Whisper. This has been really great, and I think it serves as an example for just about every town. Archie Noon, you know, we're going to do all we can to help you get chickens so you can enjoy them there in their coop that you built. And, of course, this goes to all the towns across America that are struggling with these chicken laws. We just need to help them see the light. And the light's bright because the stakes are so high and they're so beneficial to individuals, their communities, and our culture and the planet. Of course, we want to thanks to our chat room chickeneers and all our listeners for clucking along. We couldn't be here if it weren't for you. And, of course, thanks to blogtalkradio.com for providing radio, chat, and video services. If ever, probably with my dying words, I would probably say blessings to all and may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody. Ha ha ha.